Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I couldn't jump in before it hit the post there. Turned down for lunch is what we got here. B. Mitch is digging into his home-brought lunch, which smells delicious. I'm going to defer my gratification until after the show. Steve Zabin sitting in for J.P. Finley, who's enjoying his bye week. What do we got today?
That?
Yeah.
Some air-fried pork chops.
Nice.
Spiced up, too. Woo.
Tell you, air fryers have changed the game.
Yes, it has.
It's, you know, things that are declared game changers is overused. People overuse that term. I'm happy to say air fryers, oh, they done changed the game.
We did 10 filet mignons here one day in the air fryer.
Get out of town. Where'd you get the 10 filets?
I forgot the name of the place that JP gets the stuff from. The one that ship it to you around Christmas time.
Oh,
and we seasoned
Omaha
them up.
Steaks?
Omaha, and we had them right here.
Oh, good. In the air fryer.
Air fryer. 400 nice. Degrees. Took them about 15 minutes.
Nice. Okay.
And they were medium.
They were very nice. All right, let's go to the Rude Guest Hotline. It is our pleasure now to welcome on Mike Jones. I said Mike Jones.
Who?
Of The Athletic. Mike, good afternoon.
What's
How
up,
are
Mike?
You, my friend? It's great to talk to you again. How you been?
Hey, it's been a while, Dave, you know, and B. Mitch, good to hear from you. You know, I'm in the middle of prepping some air fryer fried wings right now.
That's
myself.
I
tell you, you're right. Game changer, man.
I'm going to tell you, go get you some Chilean sea bass. Take some Cajun seasoning, mix it with lemon pepper.
We don't
pepper.
Make ex-NFL money, man. That's
mix it.
Expensive fish right
there. No, you go, just go
that's
to Costco.
The Cadillac
go to
fish.
Costco, you can get it. Costco, you get the little separate little packages.
Okay.
And you season it with the lemon pepper and the Cajun with a little cayenne pepper. Put it in an air fryer. Unbelievable.
How many minutes?
Oh, it takes about good, just five to, no, about 7.5. Right.
New segment for when JP comes back, Recipe Friday.
Recipe Friday, air fryer.
Recipe Friday.
Hey, we can do that. We can do that.
So, Mike, you and I last crossed paths when we were on NBC4 doing the weekly Redskins show with our friend Clinton Portis and Carol Maloney. That was good times right there. I've been reading your stuff ever since. You're covering the league beautifully. And the league never disappoints when it comes to its storylines, does it?
Never does. The drama never stops. And when we think we got stuff figured out, we learned that we don't have anything figured out, especially this year where everything is so wide open. Good teams are bad. Bad teams are good. Contenders are wetting the bed. It's just, you know, it's wild out there this year.
Everyone kind of assumed we were steamrolling towards yet another epic Chiefs-Bills encounter in the playoffs. And now with the Bills looking very gettable at times, they've lost to a four-pack of very mediocre quarterbacks this year, and the Chiefs hanging in there for dear life in a huge game against the Colts, we may not get them. Question, is everyone okay if we draw Denver, New England in the AFC Championship game?
I am.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Don't mind
Mike, would you be okay with that surprise? Well, no one called this one. Championship game?
I am so tired of Sean Payton's smug face. I don't
It'll be
want
tough.
To see that.
He is so cocky.
I was, unless he's there and Mike Vrabel stomps a mud hole in him, I do not want to see Denver there just because, like, I just can't, man. Now, we very well may, you know, and because every team is beatable. I do wonder about these teams like New England, who, when they get to playoffs for the first time, it's a different energy. It's a different level of intensity. And we see kind of some of these young upstart teams fall just short a little bit. But Washington made it to the championship game last year, so it's definitely doable.
Yeah.
I anybody but the Broncos and Sean Payton, you know. Not because I don't like Bo Nix, and I really like their defense, but Sean Payton is just purses those lips, and he looks. He's just, you know.
You know what it is for me, Jonesy? It's the glasses.
Yeah.
I think he's shopping on the wrong carousel for the ladies' glasses. Seriously, look at his glasses. They're like these clear Sally Jesse Raphael glasses. And I'm an old man that needs readers myself.
You took me back with Sally Jesse Raphael. Man.
I know, I did right there. But anyway, so let's talk about the Bills. You know, at times I get buddies saying, what's wrong with the Bills, as if I know. But my general theory is they've been pressing the do-something Josh Allen button for too long, and the rest of their team muscles have atrophied to a certain degree. Do you have an operative theory about where McDermott and the Bills are now?
Yeah, I mean, here's the problem. So last week I did a story on the contenders and pretenders, and I picked the brains of scouts and coaches, people around the league who have gone up against these teams, and a number of them told me that the Bills were pretenders. And I'm like, but they got Josh Allen. And they said, yeah, but they are too dependent on Josh Allen. If they can't run the football well, or if their defense can't get the stops, he has to be all world for them to win. And yesterday was the perfect example of the defense was not getting the stops that they needed. They weren't able to run the football. They were bringing pressure. And Josh Allen just, it was almost like too much was on him. And it was odd because there were times that he would normally take off and just run and pick up yardage. And he wasn't doing that. He was doing all this twirling around in the backfield and getting himself into more trouble. And then you had Joe Brady making really like head scratcher play calls. And so I looked and I said, yeah, there really is too much on this guy. He's trying to do so much and be so, you know, superheroish. And he doesn't have a defense that's going to get him the ball, because they would get stopped, but just beyond midfield. So they were getting pinned deep in their territory, and he had to go 95 yards every single time that they got the ball. And so I looked and I said, yeah, they really are pretenders. Because there's no way Davis Mills should have been able to carve up their defense like that and lead touchdown drives. They should have, you know, been able to cause some trouble and give him some fits, and they weren't able to do that.
But I think as you look at it, and I've said this year in and year out, if you can get pressure up the middle on a quarterback, you can mess all of them up. And you look at them rushing against him last night, they had those two guys coming up the middle, occupying multiple bodies from the Buffalo Bills, and those outside guys were beating the hell out of their tackles. He couldn't step up in the pocket like he normally does, and that killed him.
Right, right, because that's the way he normally takes off, is he'll dart up the middle. And they didn't do anything as far as like moving the pocket with some rollouts and bootlegs to try to get him on the edge, to get him away from those guys. It just, the whole thing, and you saw his frustration when he went to the sideline after that fourth down stop where they got stopped for a 5-yard loss, when he was just like, what are we doing? It's not looking good for them. And, you know, I don't know, because the thing is he's already lost New England one time. If he couldn't handle Houston's defense, he's definitely not going to handle Denver's defense, which leads the league in sacks. And they also have a good secondary. So it's not looking good for Buffalo.
All right, let me flip it to the other side of that equation, which is the Chiefs equation. And I want to talk about their opponent this weekend, which is the Colts. Colts are 8-2. The Daniel Jones resurgence is truly incredible. I'm still not sure if it's real or not, but it's real so far. Jonathan Taylor goes a long way to making a quarterback who's kind of mid look pretty hot. My question is this. Somebody asked me, why can't the Commanders do a quick rebound a la the Colts? Because I was already looking ahead to next year, Mike, for the Commanders, going, I don't even know if next year's a thing, given how depleted they are. And somebody said, well, what about the Colts? What about them? What have they done to be where they are now?
Well, okay, the Colts have had a quality offensive line, a good run game, a good defense for a number of years.
Yeah.
They just needed a smart quarterback that was able to take care of the football and run the offense. Now, Daniel Jones is starting to look like he might be turning back into a pumpkin. Mm-hmm. I think he's had like 6 turnovers in the last 2 games combined. Right. So teams are figuring out where to pressure him and everything. But again, the cupboard wasn't bare. They have not had all those bad drafts piling up. Mm-hmm. They've had some good drafts. They just needed a couple extra ingredients. So the Commanders, look, they are going to need more drafts. And it's unfortunate that they gave up picks for Marshon Lattimore, the Laremy Tunsil picks. Okay, that was a good move. But it's a shame that some of their building blocks that they would really be able to use this coming draft are gone for a veteran that didn't pan out. But it's going to take several quality drafts and some smart free agent signings, and not these like, get a guy past his prime Von Miller hoping it'll work. Mm-hmm. You got to get some young on the rise guys. And, you know, once you have successive drafts and year upon year, then your depth is better. And that's why it's going to take a little bit of time. But it can get there. It's just, look, we got to remember, anything is better. The owner's not sabotaging the head coach. The GM isn't falling asleep, drunk in meetings. it could have been way better. It could have been way worse. I mean,
yeah,
we've been through a lot. We forget how bad it was. But, you know, it'll just take some time.
I think also when I look at even with Daniel Jones, he has strengths. And I think the Colts have leaned towards those strengths instead of trying to just say, this is our offense, run it. And I believe Washington will have to do the same thing with their quarterback. Lean towards the strengths. Make sure he understands you're more important than what you think. You're the CEO. Right. You're not just a player. But they have to lean towards his strengths and not just, you know, I hear every week about this is we throw to the open receiver when I'm watching teams with lesser quarterbacks throwing 15 times to one guy and he catches 12, 13 of them.
Right.
Got to figure it out.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And again, when you have a quality run game that really eases stuff up, that helps ease pressure on that quarterback. We're not talking about a run game that's good because the quarterback's running all the time, but a running back that can change and really put pressure on a defense, then they can't just key on your quarterback. And so that'll take some time. Again, they got to find, you know, continue to beef up this offensive line. They've got to find a real running back that can be the workhorse guy. And then, you know, at receiver, yeah, Devo, Terry, but those guys are not young. And so, again, when you look at the list of needs, it's kind of long. And it's almost unfortunate that they got lucky and won like they did last year because it made them think that they were further along than what they were in their roster construction.
The most compelling story to me this week is Shador's first start. 2-8 Browns, 2-8 Raiders. Normally a please black this out in my area game. Instead, I'm all about it. No matter what Shador does, we know that some of the takes,
it's gonna be a story.
Some of the takes, Mike, are going to be wild in either direction. What do you think is the bar for Shador in his first start, given the fact he hadn't been with the first team all year in practice?
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing that's, you know, it's a process, and he's not going to go out there and look all world. Now, again, he's going against a defense that's not the most dominant. They do have Max Crosby, though, so there is, you know, a talented pass rusher opposite him. But they have got to run the football. They've got to protect him. They got to catch passes. The problem is, like last week against Baltimore, I don't care who the quarterback was back there. That offensive line has really deteriorated and was not good. Nobody would have been able to have a chance. Just look at Joe Flacco, how bad he looked with them, and they thought, oh, this guy is done. He's a stiff. Let's trade him to our in-division rivals. And he goes out there, and he's directing an offense that's averaging 28 points and 350 yards a game. So they are very devoid of talent. So that's why I worry for Shador. I think that he's going to make some plays. He'll probably make some mistakes, but his first game actually wasn't all that bad. He had, you know, three or four bad plays, but he made something out of nothing a couple times. And, you know, so you just want to see him take care of the football, you know, extend plays, and, you know, we'll see what happens from there. But you can't expect miracles with the offensive cast that he's working with.
The other guy has got a huge lot of stuff riding on his outing on Sunday is J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota. Vikings are at the Packers, and the McCarthy thing is bubbling and brewing to where it's almost going to be a crisis point if he lays another egg. His numbers, Mike, are terrible, as you know. They're lagging behind even Zach Wilson after five games with the Jets, and they were ready to ship his ass out at that point. So this is a big start for McCarthy on the road.
It is, but here, this is the silly thing about this. The guy didn't play football last year.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's basically a rookie. And it's very silly of Minnesota to, you know, have the expectation that he was going to come in and look dynamite with a lack of experience. If they really thought that they were Super Bowl contenders this year, they should have franchised Sam Darnold right, and make McCarthy sit after him, under him for one more year so we can actually be on the field practicing and running an offense and taking snaps for a whole year before turning the starting job over to him. You're going to take lumps with a young guy with the least amount of experience that he's had there. And so I don't like the whole narrative that I've been following for, you know, all these weeks that he's been starting. It's the first time he's been out there. He's not going to look great. And, yeah, I mean, Peyton Manning's rookie year, didn't he lead the league in interceptions?
Yes, he did.
You know, it takes time. And as we see, Sam Darnold looked, you know, like trash. And now he, you know, several years.
Well, last weekend he looked like trash too, though.
Oh, yeah.
Right. He woke up. He stopped dreaming.
Talk about some pumpkinish shades turning back into a pumpkin. Sam Darnold, like, oh, boy. Please tell me this guy's not coming back.
It takes some time, though. You know, I mean.
Okay.
He didn't just. So that's why I think that.
Listen.
Need to alter their expectations.
I hear you. Your take on McCarthy is quite defensible. And logic, and sounded and grounded in reason. But here's the problem, Mike. Drake May exists. And because Drake May exists, and you hold one in one hand and the other in the other, even counting the fact that May played last year and got his lumps sort of through the system, he's in the same quarterback class. And he's kicking ass.
Yeah, but he didn't kick it last year. And McCarthy got hurt. I understand what Mike is saying. I think that's what we've all got. If we see one game, I listen to fans all the time. They see one play, now they expect it the rest of the year. I always tell everybody, this football not easy, especially at that quarterback position. Right, but right. Me, and JP could tell you, I was never super high on McCarthy anyway, because I think in college, he played for a team
that ran the hell out the football 50 times a
and
game.
They didn't go to him when they needed something. They handed it to the little short dude in the backfield. You know?
Right.
So I've never really thought he was prepared for the passing aspect of the NFL. I think he's a smart kid. He's a winner. But he doesn't throw the ball effectively enough to be really the guy that they want him to be right now.
I agree. And that's why I agree. I think that this year, they should have said it. Yes, we're going to try to win games, but this is about learning. This is about laying the foundation. You know, he's going to learn the NFL game. He's got to learn the passing windows. He's got to learn the tempo. And they should be trying to pound the football instead of having him drop back as many times a game as he does. You know, Kevin O'Connell is a smart coach, but you know, we saw, you know, some kind of questionable quarterback management when he was here in Washington. With, you know, Dwayne Haskins was young, you know. Find ways to lighten the load on your quarterback, simplify things, and, you know, not think that you're calling plays for, you know, 7-year veteran and expect, you know, great results from a kid that, you know, has only played, you know, a handful of games in the NFL.
All right, 30-second out because we're up against a break. You got one game that you like the most tomorrow? Come on, Jonesy, give us something.
Oh, I mean, I really want to see this Cowboys-Eagles game because, you know, the Cowboys, they at home, Dak Prescott 18-0 against NFC East teams at home, and the Eagles, there's so much pressure and turmoil and everything.
Is that right? That stat's right. 18-0 at home.
Last 18 games at home.
18 in a row. 18 in a row for Dak at home.
That ends this
against
weekend.
NFC East.
That ends this weekend.
All right. Well, 4-5-1 Cowboys. This is like their last chance to actually say, hey, we're still going to – we have some ambitions left in the season. If they can't beat the Eagles who are 3.5-point favorites, then it's probably curtains. Mike Jones, as always, a pleasure,
appreciate
my friend.
You, Mike.
Great to connect.
All right. Have a good one, guys.
All right. Mike Jones of The Athletic. Coming up, the governor and his picks for the weekend. You're listening to The Fan.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We're back, B. Mitch and Finley. Steve Zabin sitting in for J.P. Finley here on The Fan. Just got that news about Jackson Dart. I don't know why I looked these things up. J-A-X-S-O-N.
Yeah.
Jackson.
Yeah.
That is ranked the number 93rd most popular boy name in the country. So it's a top 100 name, even with the X in the spelling,
wow,
which is weird.
That's crazy.
Traditional Jackson, without the X, what ranking do you think that is as a boy name?
Outside of 100.
No, 17.
17? Wow.
17.
Wow.
So a little Jackson factoid. And the other factoid is he's not playing. So the crab leg kid is back in at starter. Okay, to the rude guest hotline we go, Brian.
All right, and joining us, the governor of the great state of Maryland, Wes Moore. Gov, you're 30-25 so far this year. And
I'll take Coach B. Mitch. I'll take Coach.
Nice. Well,
Coach Moore joined us right now.
Coach Moore.
Hey, so hey, Zabin has joined us.
I got to tell you on that Jackson name. If this kid keeps on playing, if he turns out to what the Giants actually hope he's going to be, you're going to see JAX rise up those
it
ranks.
It may rise up.
And he's a good looking dude, so you know people are going to want to name after him then.
Absolutely, right. But he's got to take care of himself. He's getting knocked around too much.
Yeah, he got to stop leading with his head.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes, he does.
All right, Gov, let's get right into it. I'm going to save the Ravens game for you last, and I'm going to start off with the Colts and the Chiefs. This, if the Chiefs lose, it'll help you all out some, I'm sure.
It sure would. But I don't think they're going to. And here's the only reason why. Like, I think, you know, the Chiefs are continuing what has really been one of the great dynasties that we've seen in football. But you know, every single year we're watching just a chipping away at that. And you know, while the Chiefs really have had a lot of ups and downs, I think last week's game, I think people really need to pay attention to, because while the Chiefs are on the downside, I'm telling everyone who will listen to me, watch out for the Broncos. They are looking like a legit threat to be able to pull off to get out of the AFC. But on this game, I think the big thing is that, you know, Jonathan Taylor is just a monster. I mean, he's continuing to show why he is one of the real front runners for MVP. But the challenge is going to be this, is that Daniel Jones is dealing with an injury. And so what's going to happen, what you're going to see the Chiefs do, which they're actually really good at, they're just going to pack the box. And they're going to do what they need to do to be able to stop Jonathan Taylor from being able to pull off 200 yards. And so if you look at the fact that the Chiefs are at home, you look at the fact that Daniel Jones is not fully healthy, I think you're going to see the Chiefs pull this one. The Chiefs will pull this one off.
All right. Well, your next game, it's a game everybody around here will be paying attention to. The Eagles and the Cowboys. I think we're all Eagles fans this weekend.
I am never going to be an Eagles fan, but I'm with you on that. We all hate the Cowboys. But listen, as much as I absolutely hate the Dallas Cowboys, I actually think they're going to pull this one off. I think they're going to. And here's the thing: it's very tough to beat the same team twice in the NFL. And I think we're all seeing, because once you get to your division games, your division games just carry a different kind of weight. And when you saw the Eagles pull that one off in week one, I think the Cowboys are just going to are a better team than they were in week one. Now, I say they're good to all the Cowboys fans out there, but they're a better team than they were in week one. The thing that actually gives me a pause for the Eagles on this too is that the game is in Dallas. And the place just gets loud. Dallas is a tough place to play. And so the fact that the Eagles are looking pretty banged up, the fact that there's been a whole lot of, you know, this week so much of the talk has been locker room talk about the Eagles, which is never a good thing when the week is dominated by who in your locker room is saying what about who in the locker room. I think the Cowboys pull off a win in this week.
Yeah, I cannot root for the Eagles ever, B. Mitch.
But, well, I got a little reason I root for them against Cowboys for sure.
I know, but I do enjoy the rivalry because I think it's one of the best so-called B-side rivalries in the NFL where they hate each other. They've only met four times in the playoffs. I looked this up, so there's not a lot of big history in the postseason. But the Bounty Bowls in 89, Bounty Bowl 1, Bounty Bowl 2, were such good stuff because after the game, you had a red-faced Jimmy Johnson saying, I went to go shake Buddy Ryan's hand, but he ran his fat ass off the field before I could get to him. And I was like, oh, that's good hatred right there.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes you
look at you, Steve. I love the pullback. I love it, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. So next is the Bucs and the Rams. The Rams won a very good one against Seattle last week. Can the Bucs bounce back and knock off the Rams?
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie, man. I had the Rams losing last week, and the Rams showed me something. I mean, again, and I tell you, the thing that really showed me wasn't just, I mean, everyone's talking about Stafford and whatever like that. It was that defense.
Yeah.
I mean, the way they just threw Darnold in knots all game long. And that's the thing. Darnold is not a quarterback that just has a bad game just because. He saw a defense that he has not seen over the past 5 weeks. And so I was actually really impressed with the Rams win. I think this is going to be a very exciting game to watch because you do have two good and high caliber offense that are going against each other. But I do think that home field does matter. I think the Rams have the home field advantage. And the Rams showed me something last week with that win on Seattle. So I'm going with LA on this one.
All right, the Panthers are going all the way across country, you know, people go from east to west or west to east. They normally don't do it very well, and they're playing against the 49ers team with a lot of injuries, but they keep winning. Who you have going? Who winning this game?
Yeah, I mean, the Panthers are going to go all the way across the country just to get their tails whipped. That's going to be a long flight back. But and I had someone telling me the other day, they're like, you know, the Panthers looked really good last week in their OT. I'm like, y'all beat them. Good win. You beat the Falcons in overtime.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think that the Panthers are going to travel well. I don't think the Panthers are a consistent team. And listen, B-Mitch, you're right about the Niners and their health. And they have not been healthy all year long. But they are, this is probably the healthiest that they have been all year when you consider all the various injuries that they have had. So I think the 49ers, I think we get a big day out of McCaffrey, and I think the 49ers beat the Panthers.
All right. So far you're taking all the home teams here, Governor.
Yeah. Home field advantage matters,
well,
man.
I probably can imagine what you're going to take in the next game. Okay, you got the gangrene coming to play against the purple. Jets taking on the Ravens. What happens in this game?
Yeah, gangrene feels about right because all of them seem they inflicted with something.
It's rotting. The team is
they're all
decaying.
Rotten. They're all rotten. the Jets. And listen, I got to give respect to my man Tyrod Taylor, only because he's a former Raven.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's gonna be under center for the Jets. But this is just a bad football team. And literally, it's the offense, it's the defense, it's the special teams, it's the coaching. It's across the board. This is just not a good football team. And the fact that they now have to come to Baltimore, which, you know, and one thing I will say, B-Mitch, is that, yes, we are on a 4-game winning streak. This would not have been the 4 most impressive games, though.
Yeah.
I think the Ravens keep winning, and listen, I'll take an ugly win over a pretty loss any day of the week.
Yeah.
But these have not been really impressive games. I think the Ravens still have a lot to show. But I also think that we're playing the Jets, and we're going to be okay because the talent level of the Ravens versus the talent level of the Jets, it's not even in the same conversation at this point. And I don't think the Jets at all are going to have an answer for the Ravens running game and for what Derrick Henry is about to do to the New York Jets. So I think the Ravens, they hold home court.
Gangrene, the death of body tissue caused by loss of blood supply or serious bacterial infection, most commonly affecting the arms and legs or affecting the New York Jets.
There you go. I got you. 30-20.
Feels about right.
30-25, you win all home teams. I'm kind of thinking one of those teams, home teams, going to lose. I think they're going to be the Cowboys. I think the Eagles' defense is going to mess up Dak. But I'm looking to see you sitting at 34-26 or either 35-25 at the end of this week. We will see.
Let's go.
All right, man.
And when you add that down to our history, man, I'm getting ready to put it on my yellow jacket, man.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you next week as we do every week, man. Appreciate you for the time.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Thanks.
All right, that's Governor Wes Moore joining us from the state of Maryland, making his picks as he does every week. And
I like that the governor.
I like the picks. We'll see which one, though. I just don't know about the Cowboys thing.
A question, because I'm not fully familiar with the entirety of the segment. Is he allowed to mention point spreads?
He never mentioned point spread.
Does he?
You ever notice that?
Is it because he's not allowed as governor?
I don't know.
So these are straight up picks?
Just straight up picks.
Okay, so these are money line picks.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's how we do it.
So, yeah, you know, 30-25 is not great money line.
Yeah, he'll take some wild picks, though. He'll take the underdogs a lot of times.
Okay. I was going to say, did he take any dogs this week?
Yeah, the Eagles. Cowboys. The Cowboys
are a dog of 3.5.
Yeah.
Niners are -7. The Rams are -7.
The Chiefs are -3.5.
And the Chiefs, yes, there are. They're favored.
Yeah.
So there you go. By the way, about the Niners. Kyle, when he was here, I was pretty hard on him on the radio.
Uh-huh.
Because he is a Nepo baby. Let's not mince words.
I was hard on him, too.
He's what?
I was hard on him, too.
Oh, okay. You're not a Nepo baby.
Oh, no.
So he's a Nepo baby, but he's made the most of it, and he's really damn good. And so I don't mind when somebody who got their start because their dad was in the business, whether it's the NFL or broadcasting or whatever, when they become their own guy and when they show a real aptitude for doing something hard. And what Kyle has done with this Niner team this year is they show up and they play their ass off every week, losing these major chunks of their team, whether it's Bosa or Warner. Purdy's been out for a long while. They retrofit what they do to fit Mac Jones, who is not anyone's idea of a QB1 in this league, and they find ways to win. And some of their wins have been really grimy, but they're wins. You bag them, you stuff them, you keep moving on. Yeah. So I have a respect for Kyle Shanahan. He's a hell of a coach. If they hadn't lost those big chunks of their team, and if their wide receivers weren't wiped out to start the year, I would say this is a Super Bowl team, absolutely.
Santana made me change my opinion of him.
Because?
He told me how great of an offensive mindset he was, and when you can play, he will go all in with you.
That's what I've heard, yes.
If you were on the cusp of not being that good, he don't give a damn about you. So I'm kind of that way myself.
Sure.
If you're not helping me, I don't care for you to be around.
I've heard other people say that Kyle is good not only with the X's and O's and the schemes and everything, but that he can be a dude to the guys in the locker room when needed, and then the coach who says, yeah, no, we're not going to do that.
There you go.
When also needed. So,
all right, cool.
Two things right there. Okay, coming up at 1 o'clock, we got to Ask B. Mitch, and we have two stories about that house next door that we've got to get into in the third hour of today's show. But I'd like to run through the rest of the games that the Gov didn't pick for Sunday.
Let's get it.
Sound good?
Yeah.
That's next. B. Mitch and Finley. Zabe sitting in for JP right here on The Fan.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
For the record, my lunch was Lunchables from Vendo World here.
Ivy knows a lot.
Normally, I'd say that they are underrated, but since the last time I had these highly processed and I'm sure terrible for you, miniature turkey, cheese, and cracker sandwiches, since I last had them, I'm convinced they've changed the formula and not for the better because these crackers.
The cheese tastes weird, too.
Well, and the meat's slimy. Again, they have to create these things to stay shelf stable for way too long. But I think they've even dumbed it down even further because that doesn't look like a regular Ritz cracker. That is looking closer to cardboard all the time. But hey, please, the Lunchables Corporation, actually, I think it's a product of, who makes these? Kraft, maybe? Procter & Gamble?
I don't know.
Check the back of it. Anyway, don't come after me.
They were better back in the day.
Listen, don't come after me because I still bought them and I kind of liked them. Not a bad lunch. So the Bucks-Rams is that Sunday nighter. I think it's got a ton of intrigue. I think it's going to be a hell of a game. Rams are 8-2. Bucks are 6-4. Rams are 7-point favorites in this one. I take you back to December 8th of 2022, in which on Tuesday of that week, Baker Mayfield was released by the Panthers for reasons I don't even know. Why would you just flush a quarterback at that point in the year? I guess David Tepper, their owner, is such a menace. Like, he is Snyder on steroids, basically. That they said, you know what, you can leave now. On Tuesday, he was cut and picked up immediately by the Rams. They had a game Thursday that week against the Raiders on Thursday Night Football. And Baker Mayfield didn't start, but he came in relief, and they were down 16-3. By the time it was done, he was 22 of 35, 230 yards, 2 touchdowns, including the game winner, one of the most amazing performances by a quarterback just thrown into the fray.
Yeah.
At a point in which the Baker Mayfield stock had never been lower. He'd just been cut by the Panthers. Yeah. Couldn't even make it with the Panthers. I remember that game and I said, damn, I'm going to have to change my priors on Baker Mayfield, because I was kind of down on him too. Uh-huh. The way he left Cleveland, and even he admitted, he's like, look, I had some growing up to do. I got a bit too big for my britches. I needed to be humbled, and I was, and that helped make me a better player than I am today.
Oh, that's why he's getting paid now.
That's why he's getting paid now, yeah. And he's fun as hell to watch.
Yeah, he'll go out there and go for it. You know, I think sometimes his ego gets him in trouble, but you know what? It also gives him a chance at all times. The thing about most athletes is they believe they can. He believes and knows he can.
Right.
There are a lot of people that they don't think they can.
Yeah.
They question every damn thing, and they don't. That's why they never make it to where they're supposed to go. But Baker has great belief in him.
He's the best small scrambler in the league. Josh Allen's a big scrambler, and he's not a runner. I would put Lamar Jackson, I'd put Daniels. They're runners. Their top end can separate from you. But Baker can scramble like a chicken in a courtyard through and in and out, and he steps up and through gaps of the pass rush as good as anybody for a smaller guy, and he'll take licks, but he's pretty good at not exposing himself to get completely debacled, and that's huge for his longevity.
Yeah,
because he gets out there and runs. So that's going to be a fun game on Sunday night. The Ravens, meanwhile, are 5-5, and they're technically favored to win the division still. They've got a 53% chance to win the division. They're 13.5 over the Jets with Tyrod Taylor, who was once the backup to Flacco in Baltimore, never overlapped with Lamar. Lamar, since he came back in his four-game run, he's got a 115 passer rating and no interceptions.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. He's been damn good throwing the ball over the last two, 3 years. Well, four years, right? Obviously. But the thing about him is I just think when he gets in certain situations and people dare him to, like, they sit back and make him have to pass the ball, I think at that point, just break the pocket.
Yeah.
Because I know he breaks the pocket normally when he sees the big one. But when people are sitting back and he got 5 yards in front of him.
Or 10.
Go get it.
Or 12.
Get the 5, get the 6, get the 10. And then as long as you're moving the chains, and then all of a sudden you get them out of that sitting back crap and they're going to make a mistake. And then instead of, you can hit a crease, or now you got your big boy could beat the hell out of them.
Sure. I think the biggest challenge, I would guess, I wouldn't know, didn't play, but I would guess the biggest challenge is you don't want to fall into the mindset of I'm running at the first sign of pocket collapse.
No.
I would imagine Lamar has worked really hard to become a really good passer in addition to being a threat with his legs, that he wants to suppress that run at first sight, but he's so good at it, and oftentimes the yards are right there.
Yeah.
Take them.
Yeah.
Just take them when you can.
When people think, like the people had the mindset, when people make him have to throw the ball, he can't do it. Hell, you could throw it. And if you just run a couple of them, all of a sudden
the throwing gets a lot easier.
Yeah, they're gonna start creeping off your guys, trying to make sure they stop you, and you're hitting guys that like a 7-on-7.
Yeah, the Bengals are 3-7. They're gonna run Joe Burrow back out there. It looks like he is going to start. He practiced all week, was listed as questionable. This is an interesting one because like the Commanders with Jaden Daniels, this is their franchise, and he's got a turf toe, which is a very tough, very finicky injury. I'm just wondering, is anyone in Cincinnati going, we shouldn't be playing Joe Burrow at 3-7?
No.
They're like, get him out there.
Joe's going to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The Steelers are expecting Aaron Rodgers to start on Sunday against the Bears at Soldier Field. He is famously the man that Wikipedia says owns the Bears.
Uh-huh.
His record against the Bears, care to take a guess? Over 29 games.
29 games. He's with probably the lost two.
Close. 24-5.
Wow.
That is pretty amazing.
He also has a fractured something in his left hand.
He does. He may wear a small brace, they say, on it.
Brace. We're going to find out if you're supposed to be out there.
Do you think that'll affect him a lot? I mean, they say that there is a little bit of pain on the snap.
The snap may be got some pain. They're going to probably give him a little shot to figure that out, but you can hit somebody, you can get tackled and somebody twisted. Right. Hey, when you're hurt, one thing about it is professional football is like living in the jungle. If you are wounded, they're going to find out if you should be out there or not, point blank.
Yeah. Bears are 7-3. They're in first place in the North. The deepest into the season they've been in first place in a long time. They're obviously feeling it with Ben Johnson. Caleb Williams is playing a hell of a lot better now that he's got competent coaching. So you like to see that. They're 2.5-point favorites. That's going to be a good game at 1 o'clock. All right, quick break. Hour number three, or hour number four coming up. Ask B. Mitch, and what about that house next door? That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.